All right, what episode am I on?
8 million.
Oh my God. All right, 17. Okay.
All right. Jesus, really?
Yep. What A?
As an
That's right, you heard it. It's episode 17 of Free to Play, and Imran Khan thinks,
I think it's surprising that we're at 17. I thought we were at like 12. Even though I make the post and edit the podcast every week.
Yeah. Well, no, it's even though doing those things, it slips by. I believe me. Anyways, it's January 28th, 2013, 7:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm Brian Belita. You already know that Imran Khan is here. We're also joined by Mark Bradshaw.
You know, 17 is the least impressive prime number.
And Matt Pierce.
Hey, what's up?
Nothing witty, Matt?
I got none. I burned my mind out with ray tracer programming today.
Oh, man, yeah, I've seen that thing you've been... So what's the... Do you have any sort of end game for that?
I don't know.
Does it involve, new levels for Redneck Rampage? Because it should.
I've never played Redneck Rampage.
It might get us in with John Carmack or something.
He actually responded to one of my tweets.
I did. You should feel cool about that.
He said, leave me the fuck alone.
Did you reply in that weird alien language of nerd that only he understands?
Well, I understood it.
Matt understands it, yeah.
Okay, so Matt also understands it.
Well, it wasn't all that complicated. He was talking about what all the reasons that hardware-assisted ray tracing isn't going to take off. And I just kind of took that as a moment to ask him how they did the global illumination baking for Rage. Because you can't just dump all that stuff into a 3D, like 3D Studio Max, because it's just too much texture data. And it turns out that he wrote his own software ray tracer just to do the lighting for that game.
Did you say something about bacon at the beginning of that?
Baking.
Right.
That's what they call it when they like render all the lights into the texture ahead of
time. Yeah, man, Matt Pierce is our very own, is Neckerbeard's John Carmack or something. I don't know. When's your...
Oh, any of the ability.
Our John Carmack translator.
Or the fabulous hair. No, that's not John Carmack.
Or the money.
Well, it was John Carmack in the 90s. He had that, programmer ponytail, and then he grew up.
I think you're thinking of John Romero, though.
John Romero's the one that people always joke about, him being hot. Hot as a female from behind.
That was back...
If you see him, because he got... I'm going to stop talking.
They learned to draw, and then they learned not to draw.
And then Daikatana.
I'd like this. It's just great that some things remain the same after all these years. And John Romero still looks like a guy you want to punch.
Does he? Oh, Romero. Yes. Sorry. God damn it.
Still makes games that make you want to punch him. So, yeah.
Does he? He still makes games?
What was the last game that John Romero made?
The impression he makes games. If not, they should stop inviting him to E3.
PlanetRomero.com. My gaming past, present, and future. Got married. No, I mean, that's all good for him.
The problem is it looks like his beard's like those, like when you put glue down on construction paper and like drops glitter on it, that's what his beard looks like.
I forgot that he looks like the head Cyclo now.
Oh God, you're right. Yeah.
He looks like the head what?
The head Cyclo.
Cyclo?
Now I'm the head Cyclo.
From Battlefield Earth. The
cyclist. Oh man, he does look like John Travolta a bit.
If you go to that wiki, I know this is great radio we have here, but if you go to his Wikipedia page and you stick the picture of John Romero with two other horrible looking 90s dudes, John's not changed at all. I think he's probably still has that belt on, which is
right. That's what happened to him. He jumped on board at Zynga before they died.
Oh.
Yeah, after Daikatana and Red Faction and Anachronox, he worked on Hyperspace Delivery Boy, Jules and Jim, Dig It, Congo Cube, Cartoon Network Block Party, Gauntlet Seven Sorrows, Area 51, Ravenwood Fair, whatever that is. That's done by LOL Apps Incorporated, I should mention. Superhero Squad, Ghost Recon Commander, and then Peddington Park by Zynga Game Network Incorporated.
Of course, he should hope he has a very nice obituary writer. Very, because very leading with that would be bad.
Yeah.
Of course, we were making fun of him, but the dude still like earned more than we make in a year in the top time it took us to run him down.
Well, shit, yes. He made some good games.
Yeah.
It's so, just when you. It's one of those things where if you make a game that's so hyped and it fails to deliver, you kind of never live that down.
It's not just that, but this guy could not be left to do whatever the hell he wanted. He clearly had to have the right team behind him. So, you know, once he stepped away from id, it was over.
Well, I think he was also a product of that weird era where we tried to turn, like, game developers into rock stars, and it was just a stupid idea.
Yeah.
So, here's to you, Video Game Johns. We salute you. I think.
Oh, man. He made Super 3D Noah's Ark?
Oh, God.
I kind of want to look that up now.
Oh, it's terrific. Man.
It's beautiful.
It's one of those great old Wisdom Tree games.
Ugh. God damn it.
This looks like Doom.
It is. Yeah, well, it's not Doom, but it's kind of based on a similar engine. It's actually a modified version of the Wolfenstein 3D engine that can only do 45-degree angles instead of 90-degree angles.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the SNES port now.
Do it. So, should we talk about what happened late last night, Imran?
We played Cards Against Humanity?
No, we played...
A ripoff of Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah, it's basically Cards Against Humanity, but online.
Yes. Now, we might want to preface this, what we tried to do before then, which is play Mark... Or was this something different? Because...
No, Brian was not involved in that.
I wasn't involved in this prior thing. Okay. But why wasn't I involved?
I don't know. Do you have a 3DS and Mario Kart?
I have a 3DS.
Then the Mario Kart parts aren't important.
Mm. I'm just bringing this up to disparage Nintendo and its online system. Because
we managed to get in fine. It was just people rage quit.
Friend codes are annoying as hell, but community codes are a really great idea. Like being able to create a little community of people you know on the fly is kind of neat.
The problem is communities aren't the same as lobbies, so when people would join a community and people were already racing, it would just make it into the lobby.
Is it specific to a game, though, or is it like 3DS hardware or, you know, software?
It's specific to Mario Kart.
It is. Hmm.
So, but yeah.
There's like an ongoing Mario Kart platformers community last time I looked.
I think it was the first time we've used it in like a year, but...
Well, anyways, so fuck Mario Kart. No, not really, though. I'm sure it's a great game, and I would like to play it someday, but... So Imran and I and a bunch of the guys from the platformers were playing Cards Against Humanity online, which is good. That game in particular probably doesn't convert well to some sort of like online presence unless you're doing, you know, voice chat or something like that.
Yeah, we managed to hobble through with text chat.
Yeah, we use text chat and it works out all right, but I guess the actual coding of the thing. Also, because I don't know, for anyone who's played Cards Against Humanity, I don't know, I guess people always compare DAP and apples to apples, but I've never played apples to apples. But basically, there are a whole bunch of what are called white cards that have like nouns or phrases or sayings on them, just a whole bunch of just random things. And then there are black cards, which have some sort of sentence and often a blank or two or three missing. And you have 10 white cards at a time, and you play the card with the phrase on it that you think will make the person who's playing the black card laugh the most. You know, you kind of cater to their sense of humor. So like if Mark was playing, had a black card that said, this is the way the world ends. This is the way the world ends, not with a bang, but with blank. Then I would play Nintendo because that's maybe no, I don't know. Anyways,
yeah, maybe.
So one of the best parts about Cards Against Humanity is kind of reading the whole thing out loud and then filling in the blank and kind of looking at that white card, you know, for the first time. So you are surprised by it. But I guess the way this online version works is kind of they all get flipped over at the same time. So even in your peripheral vision, you're not really surprised by it. So I don't know. It loses, obviously, some of the effect, as do most things that are usually played in person. That said, I still think there's a huge market for asynchronous play kind of online board games. Outside of something like Cards Against Humanity. Something like Arkham Horror or something would be amazing to have an online version of.
The funniest one we had last night was I was the card czar, which is the person with the black card. And the prompt was, Kanye West is releasing his new album wherein he raps over blank.
Right, he raps over samples of blank.
Yes. and the one of the cards was Kanye West.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty great. But yeah, so that's the thing we did last night.
There's also a really funny one that I don't think I can repeat on this podcast, but that's why that card game is hilarious.
Oh, man, well, I don't know. If we get into search queries, we could probably repeat whatever you're thinking of on the podcast right now. But yeah, so I mean, I don't know how, you know, legally gray, since it's basically an exact copy of Cards Against Humanity. But I feel like the Cards Against Humanity's guys probably don't really give a shit.
I feel like it sold me that game, so maybe they should be happy.
Okay, that's a fair point. But did watching the episode of Glee sell you on Jonathan Coulton's remix or, you know, rehash of Baby Got Back?
There's so many things in that sense I don't care about.
Okay, no, that's good. That's fine.
Well, also, if the guys at Cards Against Humanity were pissed off, maybe they should create their own online version of their stupid game. Yeah, maybe then they'd have a point.
Stupid game.
Yeah,
a stupid mark.
I never played Cards
Against Humanity. Yeah, I don't know. Did any of you guys follow the whole Jonathan Coulton Glee thing?
Nope. Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I can certainly understand what Coulton's point was. It is kind of scummy of
it's pretty
NBC
shitty.
Or Fox, right?
Fox? I'm pretty sure it's Fox.
Yeah. Usually when there's scumbags involved, it's Fox. But it's pretty scummy of them. But at the same point, you don't really have legal rights over a cover. It wasn't his song. So, you know. Okay, I can understand the ethics of it.
It was his
version
of that song.
Yeah, I mean, you can understand his ethics of it, I mean, the way it's coming from, but, you know, whatever, it's not his creation. So where is Mr. Mix-a-Lot in this endeavor?
Sir, that's Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Mark. Yeah, my apologies to the esteemed knight Mix-a-Lot.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I don't know, that whole thing is pretty shitty. Okay, so I want to get into some search queries because I'm really just going what the fuck in my head right now, because I went through and I tweeted some from the Nightshoebeard account and promptly removed two tweets, just because of the contents of them might have us flagged as like terrible porn bot spam.
Okie
dokie. So let's go over them on the podcast. all right, I gotta find them now. But if we had some great ones like Link do Zelda blingy. These are search queries, things people have either Googled or, you know, used some sort of search engine and somehow gotten to our site through. We have photos of Thangs moving.
And of Thangs moving?
Thangs is misspelled. It's actually Thaggins.
Okay, that's my fault. Yep. Okay.
Maybe he's looking for photos of Thaggins.
Oh, man, Thaggins. I know Thaggins.
You know,
Thaggins
Bilbo Thaggins.
That mythical, the mythical beast, the Thaggin. He's
photo
like,
Thaggins.
It's like a dragon, but with a lisp or something. So then we have, all right, here it started to get meaty, pun completely. All right, fuck it. Video game industry sucks. And then we have Imran Khan penis.
Sounds about right.
We have we have Beyond Good and Evil lesbian.
Yeah.
We have Sonic E Hentai furry bomb.
Not my fault.
Furry bomb.
I'm pretty sure it's your fault. And then we get, all right, here's the, we do ball gag trigger point, and then and then finally we have free infantilism sex videos.
Ball gag trigger point made me laugh because it sounded like a bad comic book hero.
It does. But yeah, so apparently somebody did a Google search in Canada, I should say, it's google.ca allegedly, for free I don't know how to pronounce it, infantilism, basically, you know, grown-ups putting on giant diapers and acting like a baby in really creepy, creepy ways.
I don't think we needed the descriptor. I think maybe we could have been fine without it.
Yeah, it's too late now. This is free to play.
Just point out, Jeremy Tessier, we are on to you. Cut it out.
Oh, man, this Canada. It could have been Tom Rogers. Right, is that his real name? I don't know.
Yes.
Okay. But yeah, so I didn't want us to get flagged for terrible, terrible things, so I deleted those and just left up some of the funny ones. Well, I mean, those are funny, but...
I guess we should mention that you finally separated out your Twitter account.
I did, yeah. Yeah, so I am now on Twitter as Old News Belita. It's all one word, Old News Belita. That's B-E-L-I-D-A. There's no N in there. A lot of people think it's Belinda. It's not Belinda. It's Belita. Yeah, and so I separated myself out. So if you're looking for me, I guess, or if you follow the Nightshoebeard account for the kind of weird things I say, then follow Old News Belita. But then you can also follow the at NerdyBeard Twitter account.
I just find it funny because, like, 2 years ago, you were so anti-Twitter.
Yeah, I guess I kind of was. Well, yeah. But then, and then I figured, you know, well, if the NerdyBeard account is going to be used, because at the time it was basically just propagating out links every time something was posted, I was like, if we're going to use it, we might as well actually use it. So I forged on, and then, you know, okay, this is a cool thing. There are lots of people doing things.
So unwilling.
Yeah, I was just really unwilling. Yeah, it's still, but okay, well, so Twitter's all right, I guess. It's pretty okay. You know,
yeah, I think everyone was vehemently anti-Twitter when they first hear about Twitter, the same way they are about Facebook when they first learn about Facebook.
Yeah.
So.
But now there's
and now it's being used for child porn.
Mm. Well, yeah, everything gets used for child porn. That's who's not been accused of being used for child porn. This is a weird conversation now.
Do you need a lawyer present?
I'm just saying you can't really judge the person or the activity or the service of. I'll just stop.
That's all the time we have tonight, folks.
Yes.
Ba-ding. Yeah. Goddamn it! I forgot what I was gonna say. Oh, right, Vine, which is a thing. I don't know, it's not a video game, but it's basically...
Someone explain Vine to me, because this is all people keep talking.
It's Instagram with video.
You can take, like, six-second video and tweet it.
Yeah, and it's just really jarring and gives me a headache.
Yeah, it's like how Twitter decided, instead of you loading things up to Imgur and YFrog, that they just let you upload really shitty-looking images with your tweets. They decided to do that with videos, too.
Yeah.
Which, unsurprisingly, 6 seconds is enough time to catch people flashing.
Yeah, apparently there's a porn thing.
Yeah.
A porn problem with this Vine. Because there's this VinePeak.com site, which just, like, loads up, you know, the most latest uploaded Vine video. And you can just sit there and it'll just, you know, refresh and keep loading things. Which is, yeah. But, all right, we should take a break and then come back and talk about video games.
And no longer child porn.
Yeah, no more. It's not child porn. It's adults just let's just take a break. Boom, 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 bah. I can wear back.
You gave up on the I can feel air tonight quicker than anyone in the history of the world has given up on I can feel coming air tonight.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. So I posted up a thing on NerdyBeard.com today. That is probably over ambitiously titled "The Evolution of the Video Game Trailer Song." And really, it's just comparing two games. Last night, I had the urge to listen to the theme song for Heavy Metal Fact 2, which was a third-person shooter slash hack and slash from... God, it's so weird to say, like, way back in 2000 is when it's from.
No, that's several dead companies ago. Like,
that
including Sony, who...
Although, to be honest, like, 2008 is several dead companies ago.
Yeah.
It's been a rough couple years.
Is Sony dead? Do we just have the shambling corpse of Sony with us right now?
Well, it's kind of like console makers. That's anyway.
So Heavy Metal Fact 2 was the third person. That was, like, just super heavy metal, you know, just fucking, like, iron metal title logos, and, you know, guns and spiky helmets and stuff like that. And I think there's a heavy metal movie. I'm pretty sure there is.
And it's a video game trailer that knows exactly what it is. This is right. Fucking ridiculous.
It's a video game trailer with its own theme song. And the theme song is just super metal. I mean, like, the soundtrack for the game had System of a Down, Pantera, Insane Clown Posse, I think Billy Idol, too.
Also leather bikini chick with a huge sword.
Yes, leather bikini chick
with her butt everywhere.
Bosom and a really just super polygonal bikini bottom butt.
This is heavy metal. It's like heavy metal, the music, but heavy metal, like, the magazine.
Yes, Yes, like the magazine / video game. So, yeah, so that trailer has an amazing song, and I don't know, it just clicked in my head, and I played that game, and I guess I feel somewhat nostalgic for it, which is one of the reasons I want to listen to it.
Well, you know, so, the great thing about that trailer is you look at the trailer, you know exactly the video game you're going
to
get
right.
hold of.
You listen to the song, you know exactly what the game we're going to play is. So, well, anyways.
I think there's a point to be made that in a modern video game trailer, you do not get to see the game.
No.
Like, at all.
No, usually not. Right. This trailer is other than the awesome 90s CG, there's a lot of in-game footage. At one point, the main character, Julie, fights ghosts with a chain gun. She has a chain gun and she's shooting ghosts.
Well, then again, it's also at the point where it was still kind of amazing that this stuff is in 3D and you're able to get all this stuff. It's like, look at this 3D model. Like,
no, I remember being absolutely amazed by the game. Yeah, I mean, the world is kind of fantastical and shit. So anyway, so that was last night. And this morning I wake up and there's a new Dead Space 3 trailer.
All right, Dead Space 3. I'd love the Dead Space series. All
right. Right, exactly. Dead Space, you know, and and I'd say this in my post, but you know, it's a game that's got an amazing soundtrack, super thematic, atmospheric music, really gets you in the mood. And so I click play, right, and I'm listening to it, and I hear this, you know, there's footage, it's Lost Planet-y, you know, it's out in the cold, there's the Dead Space stuff, you know, there are two Dead Spacers, that's what we're going to call them, we're going to call them Dead Spacers. And I hear this voice, in the trailer. And now all of a sudden the drum beat drops, that doo-doo, boo-doo, 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 boom, boom, poof, and it's Phil Collins in the air tonight.
It's not Phil Collins in the air tonight.
It is a cover of Phil Collins in the air tonight.
What?
It's not Phil Collins.
It's not actually Phil Collins?
No.
Oh, God, no.
Have you actually heard Phil Collins in your entire life?
Because, well, the weird thing is that when I left to go home from work today, I turn on my radio, I hit scan. And all of a sudden, it comes upon, like, I don't know, it was like 95-something, the peak, and Phil Collins in the air tonight is on the radio. Okay. And that just made my day. My day was amazing because of that.
Okay. Now there's three things wrong with the Dead Space 3 trailer. Number one, you don't use Phil Collins in the air tonight for this game.
Two,
you don't cover fucking Phil Collins in the air tonight. I don't care who the hell who do you think you are, Mr. Jonathan Colton? This is Jonathan Colton, but that's not the point. And three, this is Lost Planet. What the hell's going on here? There's glowy stuff and there's snow.
So that doesn't make it Lost. There's glowy stuff in every video.
It's
pretty
Lost Planet.
I mean, I know, yeah.
Not just the trailer. I mean, the demo's out. It's pretty fucking Lost Planet.
I guess I did see somebody play with the orange bits that you shoot, yeah.
I mean, for the most part, it's those, like, things that, like, it's the standard Dead Space monsters, and then at some point it gets, this is kind of a Lost Planet monster.
Yeah, I mean, I
and then you find a giant drill.
I appreciate the fact that they went for something a little different than, you know, kind of a floating space area thing. And, it's just dark, metal-y hallways and stuff like that.
I feel like Dead Space has the same problem that Die Hard has, that how many crazy days is this one guy going to have?
Right. Yeah.
It's different if he's someone that specifically looks for trouble or is set to save the world. But nope, it just everywhere he goes, shit goes crazy.
Oh, that's
the problem. There are a lot of games that make a really good one-game premise, but they get sequels because they're successful.
You know what? It would be the Dead Space universe, the way it's set up, it would be really great for an anthology series. It's just a new person every time dealing with this horrible, fucked up monolith in its new incarnation.
But they want to push Isaac Clarke and not anybody else.
Oh, man, I totally forgot. The juxtaposition between these two trailers gets even better because, like, at the kind of beginning and the end of the Heavy Metal Fact 2 trailer, you have the bad 90s CG. You have, like, the muscly midget half-spider guy that comes and puts his sunglasses on and punches away the screen. And then in the Dead Space 3 trailer, the Dead Space guy, the Dead Spacer, takes off his helmet and there's a real person's head.
Oh, God, do you see Isaac?
Green screen.
Is it show Isaac?
It's a real person's head, you know, with...
Well, Isaac's been helmetless for a while.
Yeah,
I can't remember. Did Isaac take his helmet off in the second game? Did we see Isaac?
He started up with his helmet off. He doesn't get his armor for a while.
I remember, like, he had his armor off. I don't think so. Yeah, okay, you're right. Because I'm remembering the start of it. Yeah. So, yeah.
Because he had that straight jacket and all that.
But so anyway, so you got the bad 90 CG, and then you have the bad 2010s? Or is it? What do we call this?
The aughts, I
the
think.
Aughts, yeah.
No, the aughts,
yeah. Then you have
one.
The bad aughts real person.
Yeah, these are the teens.
Oh, okay.
The teens. Okay. Oh, man. Ugh. Ugh. I feel gross. I guess we're technically, tweens. So anyways, game trailering is dead.
I just, it continues that trend, I guess, started off with Gears of War using Mad World. There was another one I think Emma brought up,
Dante's Inferno. Well, that was a commercial it used.
Your little Super Mario Ball or Super fuck shit.
My what?
Super Monkey Ball trailer.
Even that your stupid fucking Mario Ball.
Your stupid Super Mario Ball.
You're talking about ball I hold where everyone.
I would play the shit out of Super Mario Ball. I'm just saying.
A good trailer though. X.
What?
That nobody saw. It was that thing that Nintendo revealed a couple of days ago. That Xenoblade sequel?
Oh, right, yeah. That looks cool as shit.
Can I just point out, that looked cool as shit because it had footage. there was a game. You could see a game that exists.
Right, so we mentioned that, and the Dead Space 3 trailer says, there's a little thing that comes up that says this is like all in-game footage. I'm looking for it.
But it's all in cinematic.
Yeah, it's not actually
It says actual in the gameplay game. Footage. And I think what it should say is actual in-game.
In-engine, I think, is the clever way they get around it.
In-engine footage, yeah.
Like the camera angles are completely wrong. You would never actually be able to do any of these actions. But yeah, it's totally streaming off that disc. Great.
I mean, there is some stuff here that looks like it could be gameplay footage, but it's very misleading. Like, that guy's real face is actual game. Well, I guess that
text. Engines are so ridiculously scalable that it means nothing. Yeah. Like, Resident Evil Revelations and Resident Evil 6 run at the same engine. Like, even Resident Evil 6 PC run at the same engine as the 3DS game.
Yeah.
You could make a bunch of cutscenes for Resident Evil Revelations and claim, this is totally running on the same engine. Not a big deal at all.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I just don't think Phil Collins and Dead Space is a good mix. That's all I'm saying.
I like that trailer. I just don't know if it fits for Dead Space.
Oh, God. What was that movie Phil Collins was in?
Was he in a movie?
He was in, like, a movie where he stole mail or something like that.
Whoa.
All right, this is going to bother me until I look it up.
Yep. No, it is, yeah.
Before we get off the subject of Phil Collins, can we agree that that was the iconic Phil Collins song and thus the iconic 80s song?
Are we including Genesis or no?
Yeah, that's the question, because if we're going to include Genesis, then I'm going to include the one with the, I can't remember the name of it because it's terrible names, but had the music video with the puppets on it. Land of Confusion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The video with the puppets.
Land of Confusion. That's one thing.
Yeah. That's Space 3. So why, Devil May Cry. Speaking of crying.
Ask me about Devil May Cry, you guys.
Imran, tell us about Devil May Cry.
It is... I kind of hate myself for saying it's not terrible.
But is it good? That's different.
It is, by the barest of margins, good. Like, I think I finally understand what people see in Ninja Theory.
Okay.
To an extent, because they have really nice art. And it's totally blunted by the fact that their level design is complete shit. Like, complete shit. So Devil May Cry is broken down in three ways. There's the arena, which, okay, fair. Devil May Cry game.
Sure.
Arenas. Then there's hallways, which there's so many of. There's just tons and tons of hallways. And you're always being forced down them.
Now, so, I mean, are these, like, actual hallways? Because, I mean, there are games that, they have wide open areas, but they still guide you. Or are these like a literal, you just have about 15 feet left to right of movement and you can go forwards or backwards?
They're literal hallways. Mm. And I mean, you can go through them, I suppose. And the worst thing is when enemies attack you in hallways, and occasionally they'll design fights to be in hallways, because then the ceiling is so low that you can't do a lot of your cool air combos.
Oh, that's good. That's what you want out of the game. Yeah,
because they didn't design it for that for some reason.
You know, not to go ahead and compare it to Bayonetta, but I can't remember that ever happening in Bayonetta or any other Devil May Cry game. They would actually give you the space you needed to do the crazy shit that it was designed to do. Or even like God of War. They wouldn't do that.
There were hallways in Bayonetta, but usually they were used to mask load times.
Yeah. They were used to mask load times, and you could just panther mode through them.
Yeah.
Like
panther mode?
Yeah, Bayonetta could turn into a panther if you hit dodge twice.
It's not furry, shut up. It was awesome. It was great. Yeah.
But, in other news, I need to play Bayonetta.
Bayonetta, what? This game isn't as good as Bayonetta,
of course.
Maybe that's unfair, but Bayonetta came out 3 years ago.
Yeah. Okay.
So why isn't it as good as Bayonetta?
Okay, let's put it this way. Let's have a scale that starts off with God of War, and that's the low end, and Bayonetta is the top end. Where does this fit in that?
Well, I would put God of War. I don't like God of War, but I would put it above stuff like El Shaddai and things like that.
Okay.
I would say this is roughly equivalent of, say, Darksiders 2. I don't think it's as good as Devil May Cry 4. I don't think it's as good as Bayonetta. I think it's as good as Ninja Gaiden 2.
I think like Darksiders and Darksiders 2 had the same kind of combat, but I thought it was just barely a character action game. It's kind of just like walk up to shit and just mash the buttons until everything dies. So that doesn't really... That doesn't sound good.
So one major problem getting away from battles from a second is that, like I said, you had the arenas, the hallways. The other thing is floating platforms. Just... I would say 70% of the game is floating platforms in space.
Do you have to jump onto them or die, or can you lock onto them and jump, or how does that work?
There's no lock on in the game, which is another big problem. But you use their hook things, which is basically the Nero hook from Devil May Cry 4, except they give you different colors.
Okay.
So you have to you press right trigger for the red one and left trigger for the blue one. And the problem is there's no variety in this. It's just floating platforms with a different skin. Sometimes you're in a nightclub, sometimes you're just in space, sometimes you're in limbo, and it gets so tedious.
Nightclubs and space.
And once you realize that all this stuff, they do good things with the art. They do really amazing things with the art to the point where you almost don't notice there's absolutely no variety, but there is no variety.
Yeah, that seemed to be Brad Schumacher's deal with it. He sounded very impressed over the style and the art. Mm-hmm. But he said very little about the actual game involved when he handed out that 5-5.
Yeah, I don't think... The problem with the battle system in general is that they made so many weird decisions to try and streamline it that it doesn't work. They made it so you can do some weapon switching, but only between... There's two angel weapons, two devil weapons,
mm-hmm.
and three guns for some reason. And they give you the last gun 30, 40 minutes before the end of the game. And it's not even very powerful, but... They give you those things, and then they give you color-coded enemies, because that's the kind of thing you want in an action game, clearly.
Right, right.
Is to be able to not combo very well.
Right. Wouldn't be worried about, shuffling all your weapons like that, not because of the style, but because you can't use... They're completely useless.
Yeah, you can't... It hurts combo creativity at that point. And maybe 99% of people aren't going to notice the fact that this fundamentally damages the battle system, because they don't hit it to that extent. But when you have the name Devil May Cry, there's probably a certain expectation of what you can do with that battle system that I feel this game kind of betrays.
If you strip out the Devil May Cry from this and you name it something else, give a different character, do you think people react differently to this, or worse or better? Or
I think they react better to it as a new IP. I think it would be treated roughly like Darksiders is.
Yeah, that's one. What I'm wondering if as soon as I heard Ninja Theory is handling Devil May Cry, I was fuck you. There's no way I'm accepting this. This is bullshit. But yeah, and admittedly, that's irrational. I mean, that's wrong. It's not fair to Ninja Theory. And if this was a new thing that Ninja Theory was just doing, I probably would have accepted it.
The big problem to me is it's the only series that could probably take a swing at Bayonetta and hit is Devil May Cry.
Yeah.
They just need to make a better game around all that other stuff. The issue with Ninja Theory stuff is they changed the battle system and then they didn't make a better game.
Right.
If they had made a better game, if they had really pushed the fact that Devil May Cry 4 was clearly rushed and they had to redo the entire game in the middle, literally you had to go back through it backwards,
mm-hmm.
then it would be... I'd like it a lot more. But the fact that most of the game, it just... doing floating platforms and occasionally wandering to an arena through a hallway through floating platforms again, and it's also the story is really stupid. You'd expect Ninja Theory to put a good story, that's supposed to be their thing, and the performances are actually surprisingly great aside from Virgil, but the story is essentially Dante joins Anonymous to take down the CEO of Goldman Sachs, and also there's a Futurama episode in there.
What?
Do you remember the Futurama episode where they go to the Slurm factory and discover the big slug is the secret ingredient customer ass?
Yeah.
That's a plot point in Devil May Cry.
Amazing.
Is it played straight? Do they just say, hey, this sounds familiar?
Oh, yes, it is played entirely straight. It's not literally a Futurama episode. You go to the soda factory and you go find the quote-unquote succubus, and she's
shitting
or excreting into the soda to keep people mind-controlled.
Sounds hot.
And then,
is
like,
the succubus hot? Is this like...
It's a big slug thing. Oh, it is literally cool. Futurama.
That's not a succubus, that's a slugubus.
And then...
Get it?
Like, one of the bosses is essentially just Bill O'Reilly, but there's no build-up or anything to him. You go to the tower, and you meet him, and he turns out to be a demon, and, like, you fight him, and that's it. And there's a cool part during that boss fight. I actually genuinely liked that boss fight, even though it sort of sucked gameplay-wise, because when you kick him in the face, and then you get transported to, like, the docks, where you're fighting demons from, like, an overhead camera perspective.
His
like,
face dimension?
Yes, essentially. And he's reporting on Dante the terrorist as, like, a helicopter buzzes around. And it's sort of cool, and then they do it again, which is not as cool that time. And that's sort of, like, Ninja Theory doesn't know restraint, and yet somehow most of the game feels like they didn't follow through on anything. So it's this weird dichotomy of where I feel like I kind of like the game, but then I also feel like it took a swing at the king and missed.
But yeah, hey, if you like Futurama, you should play this game.
If you like Futurama, you're going to notice immediately what the issue with that is. And also, there's a last-minute plot twist, which is just stupid. Like, not only is it the same plot twist from Devil May Cry 3, but it's somehow worse, because they try to pretend these characters have depth to them, and they just immediately all change personalities.
Is it as stupid as the plot twist is Enslaved?
No. Actually, I think Enslaved has better characters.
Oh, that's the problem, then.
Because the problem, like, the writing isn't so bad. Like, I actually kind of liked Dante to an extent. Like, the whole fuck you scene was probably the worst possible thing they can show, because most of the writing isn't like that. But everyone, every single character in the game just changes personalities at the drop of a hat. They are a single conversation away from betraying every core conviction they have. And, like, it doesn't call it like that. It's just, like, everyone says, oh, can you join us? No. Well, how about we talk about this for 2 minutes? Okay, yeah, I completely understand your point of view.
I'll join you now.
Yeah. And then one character's like, well, now I'm going to take over the world. It's like, fuck, really? They had to go
so
for the low-hanging
It seems
fruit.
To me that we have the modern version of Heavy Metal Fact 2 here, where it doesn't really matter. You're beating shit up and...
Only it's not self-aware and completely up its own ass.
Right.
It's only self-aware in very short one-liners, which, I mean, those can be kind of funny. Like, there's this one where the human girl cat tells you, okay, floors 158 through 160 are going to be pure hell. And you end up finding an elevator, just go through, but the little Muzak plays, and Dante just sits there and remarks, yep, hell. It's like, I think that's kind of funny.
Okay, yeah, I'm with you there. But that was always the other problem with this, aside from weirdly a weird like Western company handling Devil May Cry. Also, it's like Ninja Theory never had a sense of humor, from what I remember. And Devil May Cry was always about just ridiculous bullshit, like the guitar war you had with the witch in Devil May Cry 3. That was amazing, and it didn't seem like Ninja Theory was capable of handling anything near that level.
What strikes me is that in earlier Devil May Cry games, Dante's kind of a dork, but yeah. He's such a good fighter that nobody cares. Like, everyone knows that he's the classic Kamiya hero, like Beautiful Joe, that he's this huge, I don't want to say self-obsessed, but cocky swag dork.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you had to deal with him because he's so competent in what he did.
Like, Lady sort of, like, rolled her eyes at him. Trish thought he was just, you know, this big doofus. But he was just a guy that, like, I guess he had his own issues, but he masked that by being a dork. With Dante, I feel like it has that Duke Nukem Forever quality with the new one, that he's the same kind of dork, but everyone thinks that's awesome. And I think that's the dividing line between self-aware and stupid.
Yeah. It also kind of reminds me of how Dante's early design looked exactly like the owner or like leader or whoever the head of Ninja Theory was.
Tamine on Sirius or something like that.
Yeah. Looked exactly like that guy. So yeah, they wouldn't get the point that Dante is kind of a dork that people just put up with. No, he's awesome now.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't think the battle system is that great. The color-coded enemies really damage it. The other weapons all being so slow and useless compared to the rebellion. it would be one thing if you could use them optionally, but the fact that the game forces you to use those enemies really hurts it.
Yeah. That's the point, because that's the one thing about the weapons working other, like Devil May Cry and Bayonetta. So, you know, you found the weapon that matched your playstyle. And even true with God of War, you weren't forced to use something you didn't want to play with.
From a strictly gameplay point, do they introduce anything new to the Devil May Cry genre, I guess? The Bayonetta genre.
They do a hell of a lot of padding. Like, previous Devil May Cry games, you would look at, like, say, a piece of paper on a torch that looks strange, and it would transport you to a bonus room. This one, you have to find, I think it's bronze, copper, argent, and gold keys.
Oh,
and those keys correspond to doors that you also have to find. Oh, and you, like, if you, like, have a gold key and it's a copper door, it won't work. So you basically have to find everything to use all that stuff, so hell's a padding. There's also these keys and these doors are stuck behind doors that you need specific weapons for. Like, there's these blue vines that act as angel locks. And they tell you, like, early on, like, oh, if you use this move with this angel scythe, you can get through. But the problem is, the angel doors all look exactly the same. There's no difference. But some are at a distance. And you don't know when you're first playing the game that you're eventually going to get an angel weapon that goes long distance. Right. It doesn't tell you that. So I spent maybe like 20 minutes trying to figure out how to get to this door.
I hate it when games do that, because it also discourages you from exploration. Because the first time you realize that, you realize, well, there's no point in me trying to find anything, because there's a decent chance I don't have what I need to open that thing up.
Yeah.
It's also the big problem I always have with the Devil May Cry, not the Devil May Cry, but the Darksiders games. It's like, well, there's no point in me exploring until I have everything. So also, I won't have anything until the end of the game. So screw it. I'm not going to bother.
A big thing that discourages replaying this game is unskippable cutscenes.
Oh, God.
Most are skippable, but stuff that's like, they range from about 5 to 15 seconds of enemy introduction, completely unskippable.
It's 2013 and we're still having to deal with this bullshit.
This game doesn't have good cutscene pacing in the first place. Like, the second level, you'll constantly be coming around
cutscenes. Skip things.
Yeah, like Bayonetta, you hit back and, I think, right trigger, and it just goes through anything. Any cutscene. And this one does, like, the final boss fight, or not final, but the penultimate boss fight, my game crashed when the score was coming up, so I had to restart it, and went through a decent bit of the boss fight again, and almost all of that, including, like, a 25, 30 second scene of, like, the boss freaking out and dying and all that, was not skippable.
Wow.
Yay.
Which totally discourages me from ever playing that part again. Though I will say the PC port is really good.
Yeah, so he's super smooth, right?
Yeah, like, I have 2009 hardware and I struggle a little bit with, say, Sleeping Dogs. But I'm getting, like, 100 frames per second on this.
Crazy.
Yeah. So if you still want the game for some reason, like, there's a big dearth of action games, so if for whatever reason you're really aching for something and, you know, there's... What?
Yeah.
I guess the only other options right now are, like, Ninja Gaiden 3, Razor's Edge, and...
Then you should play 2000's hit game, Heavy Metal Fact 2.
Or you can wait 3 weeks and play Metal Gear Solid Rising.
So. Or that, yeah. That comes out soon.
Or you can finish any number of games you didn't finish last year.
Yeah, god damn it. I'm trying. I hear you fight one of the Voltron Panthers in Metal Gear Rising demo.
Yeah, you do. I mean,
I watched you fight it.
Yeah.
And he's got a chainsaw on his tail.
Yep.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, I need to go back and play the demo again now that my finger is healed and I can give it the attention it needs.
Apparently that demo needs, like, it has stealth options, and I'm like, why do I want to use stealth options?
Yeah, if you're basically... Yeah,
so you play through it twice. That's why it's there. But apparently there's hidden, like, command moves, like back forward or stuff like that.
Like dodges? Yeah.
Is there a dodge? Okay, because I tried to play it the other week, but you know, I suffered a horrible accident, and I tried to bravely march forward in playing this game. But
you cut your finger.
I cut my finger, and I can't play it very much because you know it fucking hurts. But you have to like use that trigger button constantly. So is there a dodge in this game, or is it all
apparently parts? There is. Like listener Lance keeps telling me that apparently, I think it's like RB and A or something.
I'm going to assume that this is actually explained in the game proper, like there's an actual tutorial involved. Because the tutorial in the demo is just, hey, here's how you move. Go ahead and kill shit. Great.
Oh, it's jump plus flight attack.
That's crazy.
I guess they just want you to parry more.
Yeah.
It'd be a good name for an indie game. Jump plus flight attack.
But so, yeah.
So before we wrap, I want to talk about this little anecdote that I meant to mention last week but forgot. And I mentioned it on Twitter when I was still manning the Night Weird account, which I am, but as me. Anyways. So I went to my local comic book shop the other day, or a couple weeks ago, and the owner, so I was like browsing around, and somehow, I forget how it came up, but he was like, you know, this is the year I'm going to, you know, hone my crafts. I'm going to, you know, hone my crafts, and I cannot remember how it came up.
What was his craft? What did he do aside from...
I don't know. Well, I mean, he was trying to learn to play the guitar or something. Okay. But I can't remember how it came up. But it basically it had him saying, you know, it's like, man, if these kids hadn't spent all this time playing video games, and instead, you know, put time into learning something, they could, you know, they could have become the next Mozart or the next, you know, Leonardo da Vinci.
Hang on a second. Go back a couple minutes. You said what was he now?
Owner of a comic book shop.
Okay.
Right. My thought exactly. If there's someone who's going to understand investing, you know, time and hours, into some sort of media, you'd think it'd be a guy that runs a comic book shop.
See, the problem with, like, encouraging kids to be the next Mozart is that Mozart's father thought he was just a gift from God, and he thought it was his duty as a religious man to take him around the world and make him play piano for people. And that pretty much fucked him up for life.
So what we're seeing is the Mozart may be out there on the Christian rock music circuit.
Probably.
And it's horrible. Oh, okay. You never know.
So, right, I remember how this came up. So I was looking at... one of my friends got me a version of Flux for Christmas, which is this game that was made by NASA scientists or something like that. It's exactly what it sounds like. It's a card game, and then the rules are constantly in flux.
NASA scientists. Maybe they did some productive with their lives. They'd
be able to, man. Yeah.
It's all that downtime when they have no funding to keep them busy.
So I went in there, and I mentioned Will Wheaton, who runs this YouTube show called Tabletop, in which he gets celebrities over and they play some sort of board games. You know, they play board games like Flux or Settlers of Catan, I think they've played before, some others. And so I mentioned that, and he was like, actually, you know, Will Wheaton really doesn't know what he's doing. You know, he's making these things, you know, popular. Now everyone's going to, you know, and Target's picked it up now because it's gotten so popular. And now Target is selling board games and taking away my business.
No, how dare these normals. No.
So he was So he was upset at Will Wheaton about this. I don't know. So that's how it kind of started. But
this guy sounds like a terrible human being to begin with.
At that point, I mean, I've been there before. You know, I've frequented. I've bought things there. But once this kind of conversation happened with him, I decided I'm probably not going to shop there anymore.
You know what?
I don't know. Maybe it's petty of me, but I'm like,
it's,
you know,
not this petty of you. I mean, it's just that it sounds like an embittered old man who doesn't like the fact that, you know, the mundanes are messing with his.
Yeah. So check this out. So he said what he said about video games and stuff, and I was like, well, right. He was just like, oh, it's just, you know, they're all the same, just shooting stuff. And so I asked him, like, hey, I saw the Walking Dead graphic novel sitting there. I was like, have you played the Walking Dead video game? And he goes, oh, I don't know. I don't need to shoot zombies in the head anymore. And I'm like, actually, it's actually got a really compelling narrative, and there are choices and stuff. And he just kind of, I think, tuned out. And I was like, all right, well, I'm going to leave now. I'm not going to buy anything. Yeah.
Did you leave like the box of the game that you're holding like sitting on the counter and then you walk
away? No, that would prove your point. I should have picked up the most expensive thing in the shop and just be like, actually, I'm going to go pick this up at the other comic shop.
Yeah. Actually, I'm going to go to Amazon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
I actually had some issue with Best Buy last week where they had a coupon that it was like $50 off $100. So I figured, okay, now to finally pick up a new hard drive. And I went up there and I did that, and the coupon explicitly says, good till January 27th. Like, very obviously on the thing. There was no it was no misprint or anything like that. So I take it up there and they're like, oh, actually we changed the coupon. It was only good yesterday.
But it says on the coupon that you had in front of you.
Mm-hmm. They refuse to honor it.
That's
I spent a lot of time calling Best Buy corporate and they're like, nope, we don't care.
That's super shitty.
Yeah, because it's up to each individual franchisee to decide if they want to honor something like that. It's kind of horrible. But, you know, the comic thing, it's...
No, I mean, have you guys run into anything like that in a comic book fucking shop of all places?
Oh, totally. Well, it's not me, because I don't go to comic book places.
Yeah.
There's a comic book place near where I work that's kind of staffed by people who... I can't stand retail places where the people who work there look down on you. Like in Clerks. Yeah. It's like, dude, you work at a fucking comic shop.
So okay, so now look down on you as they're just hired, they don't care about comics, and they're just like, oh fuck, here's a guy buying comic book. Or
no, it's like, oh fuck, I gotta do my job now. Job now because someone's at the cash register.
Got it. Okay.
I guess I'll come over and ring you up.
I think Louis C.K. had a great bit about that. It's like, I get the fucking, you know, coffee myself, but you're closer. Don't moan to me when I... Yeah, go on.
One time I was at GameStop and I bought I think it was a Dynasty Warriors game. And somebody was like, don't you know these games suck? Like the guy ringing me out says like, it's like... In my head I'm thinking, bitch, I know way more about games than you will ever do. And I was like, no, I want to buy it anyway.
The answer is, I've played so many fucking games that this is all that's left.
That actually was it. It was the only game I didn't
really...
This is
the last game.
I've never tried a Dynasty Warriors series, so I was like, okay.
I've played all the games. This is the last one.
The quick way to shut someone down when they start saying stuff like that is like, oh, so you've played it. Usually the answer is no. I have no fucking idea how this game actually plays. I just heard it was bad.
I think somebody who's willing to like front like that to me... probably has no qualms about lying.
Yeah.
I try not to be too hard on GameStop employees because I know a lot of them are kind of like what we were in as video game nerds in the like when we were 13.
Right. You think the best game in the world will be or best job in the world will be to work at a GameStop.
And then they're told like it's not actually about telling people about the things they should play, it's actually about selling like used games, it's actually about selling pre-orders in these horrible magazines.
I mean, back in high school and possibly beginning of college, there was one GameStop in Rockville near where my parents lived, that there was a cool guy that, you know, that I kind of clicked with and was there often, and we'd just kind of chat and shoot the shit, but I'm pretty sure he hated his job and they probably fired him, I think, at some point.
It's interesting to watch a teenager's soul just get crushed like that, though.
Return.
Like,
no.
I sympathize, but I also don't care.
Yeah. Well, because your life is going to be so full of crushing disappointments. This is but a minor blip on your way to your soul being crushed.
It's good preparation.
Yeah. Retail is great preparation. But, you know, but the comic book guys, it's weird that... You have those divisions within geek culture.
It is weird.
It's like you're not you're spending your time reading graphic novels on a Saturday night. It's
and I'm
not
spending my time, you know, playing Nintendo walking, video games.
Yeah, or whatever. Well, that's pretty bad in itself. But you know, you're playing video games.
Comics are stupid, but I don't think anyone who uses them is like an idiot.
Yeah, I mean, there's good comics that you know. I think it's like
you talk about it like it's a drug. I don't think anyone that uses comic
users.
Books.
I actually noticed that when I was saying it. I was like, that doesn't sound right. Whatever. Too late now.
Whatever. We're beyond that point. No, it's different parts of culture. There's like comic books that I think everybody should be exposed to. There's movies everyone should be exposed to. There's games everyone should be exposed to. It's all part of culture, and you can't sit there and be obsessed with one part of culture and look down on people who are obsessed with a different part of culture.
Yeah.
So the upside to my story is that even though the comic shop near where I work is staffed by people who think it's a giant hardship to have to actually ring you up, the one near where I live is, you know, a family-owned father-son work it, and they they get to know your name, and they put your comics aside that you read every month.
That's
you know,
pretty good.
You fill out your pull sheet, but, like, every comic shop will let you fill out a pull sheet, and they'll set those comics aside when they come in. These guys recognize me as soon as I walk in the door, and they just reach into the side, and I've only been going there, like, a year.
That's pretty cool.
It's a shame that video game retail has no mom-and-pop presence. Yeah. Like, literally none.
You really get crushed by GameStop.
Well, I think, wasn't Wes working at one at some point? Like, a little mom-and-pop video?
Didn't Wes let go because they were hemorrhaging money?
I'm pretty sure. I was gonna say that.
Like, there's a handful of, like, independent, like, gaming stores you can find here in New York City. But that's because there's so many young people here and so many colleges here that you know, you can support a few, but there's still like three GameStops for every freaking block.
Right.
So there's
like, if there were a mom and pop video game store and like I could build a good rapport with those people, I would. Yeah, that would seems much nicer than going to GameStop.
But absolutely.
That's the problem.
I was going to say, as it is, instead of that, we end up going to something that's just kind of generic and super big and happens to have also video games in addition to home improvement, lawn care, and other shit like Walmart.
Yeah, we say that, but at the same time, it's like when we're asked, we say, okay, it's going to cost like a 10% premium to support your mom and pop store, or you can get everything cheaper at the GameStop.
Or online.
See, that's the big problem in and of itself. There's no point in having a physical game store, and increasingly there's no point to have a physical comic book store.
So
there's a very good point to having a physical comic book store.
Yeah,
the subscription shipping is absolutely terrible.
Yeah,
well, at some point all that stuff needs to translate to iPad anyway.
A lot of it is
not already, necessarily,
but
comic
to
books work well in print.
I think it's going to only work well in print for another couple of years at most.
Mark, to your point, I think they do have a reason for having, or it can have a reason for having a physical location, but it can't be just selling those things.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like a comic book shop having, you know, I don't know, weekly board gaming tournaments or something like that.
Yeah,
or a video game shop having video game tournaments of some sort.
Yeah, if you can support the community, but so many times...
Yeah, it's really hard to support that.
Or if you can offer something GameStop doesn't. Like, Digital Press in Clifton, New Jersey stays in business because they offer imports like right there
the
shop.
Yeah, there's like one shop like that at a mall, you know, an hour or two from me, called Owens Mills. They have a shop with like a whole bunch of imports and, you know, figurines and stuff like that.
And they do infrequent enough business that, you know, if there's another one that opens within an hour, they're pretty fucked.
Yeah.
Okay, I was looking at the IMDb page that Matt sent me for Buster, which is apparently the Phil Collins movie I was thinking of. And the news thing at the bottom says Dead Space 3 launch trailer.
that's kind of awesome.
That's fantastic. That's just like, man, this day owns. Just saying. Heard it on the radio, in the trailer, and in the air tonight. Thanks for listening.
We gotta end it there.
Yeah, we gotta end it now. Alright, bye everybody.
I can feel it.